Good. Isn't it great to be together? It is great to be together in the house of the Lord, be able to worship God together and encourage each other. There are a lot of folks who are not here today. Some of them are out of town. Some of them are Jerry and Peggy went to the funeral home, I understand, this morning. Rick and Sandy are at the beach. How did they get to do that? There are a lot of folks that are sick. Sister Jean Dixon has been really sick the last several days. So there's a lot of folks that aren't here with us today for different reasons. Look around and see if your buddy's here. If they're not here, give them a call. Okay? Give them a call and check on them and see what's happening with them. You know, we have been throughout this year really placing an emphasis on prayer, and our focus is to become more and more of a house of prayer to the Lord. That's what we've been really trying to do. And we've talked about a lot of different aspects of prayer, and we've looked at really asking God, just like His disciples did, Lord, teach us how to pray so that we can have more effective prayers, more meaningful prayers, and become that house of prayer to the Lord that God really would want us to be. We've talked about using the Scriptures in prayer and fighting spiritual warfare and breaking down strongholds using prayer and so forth. So a lot of different aspects of prayer that we have been looking at. We're going to begin this morning a series of lessons, again, continuing on prayer. But this particular series, a little bit different perspective here. I'm just calling it, what are you praying for? Now, I don't know if you realize or not, you know, but depending on where you put the punctuation in that question, really can determine the meaning of that. Like someone might say, what are you praying for? You know, or it really could mean, like what I'm trying to focus on is, what are you praying for? See, what kinds of things are you praying for? In other words, what we're going to be doing in this series of lessons is looking not so much at how to pray, but what to be praying for. What is our focus that we're praying for? You see, prayer, a lot of times, I think it can be one extreme or another. Sometimes our prayers are too general. In other words, we may spend our time praying, Lord, help me to be a better Christian. What exactly does that mean? You see, to be a better Christian, that's kind of broad and general, isn't it? You see? So maybe we need to kind of be a little bit more specific in that kind of a prayer. On the other hand, we may be too narrowly focusing our prayers. We'll talk more about this in just a moment. But just the idea of what is it that we're praying for in terms of, we're always praying for maybe people to get well from being sick. You see, and that's all we ever pray about. Or are there other things that we need to be praying for? You see? So that's part of what we're going to be focusing on. We need to be, in a sense, learning how to pray outside the box, so to speak, okay, in terms of what are we praying for. And so this morning, we're going to start this series of lessons talking about praying for spiritual things, okay, praying for spiritual needs. I want to draw your attention to the Gospel of Luke and turn your Bible there to Luke chapter 10. Now, this is an occasion when Jesus and His disciples are traveling and they come to the home of Lazarus, their good friend, who is the brother of Martha and Mary. Now, ladies, I want you to stop and think for just a minute how you would feel and what would be going through your mind, you know, if someone showed up at your door, like 13 guys, you know, show up at your door. Maybe your husband brings home, you know, the guys he works with or something, you know, but you get this crowd of people that show up unannounced at your door. And what's the first thing that you're going to start thinking about? You say, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? The house is a mess. How am I going to feed all these people? And all of those kinds of things would probably go through your mind. Am I right, ladies? You see? And then probably the next thing that's going to go through your mind is, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. When they all leave, I'm going to kill him. You see, right? You see? But we're thinking about, what is it that we're thinking about in that case? Well, that's what's happening with Martha and Mary. Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus shows up at the house with his 12 apostles. So there's 13 mouths to feed, 13 men mouths to feed. Okay? So they're not eating like birds, I imagine. Okay? You see? So what happens as a result of Jesus and his entourage showing up at the home of Martha and Mary? Well, here's what takes place. They go to the home, beginning in verse 38 here. Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary. And where's Mary? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to what he said. Great help, isn't she? Okay? But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Look at Jesus' reply. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What's Martha worried about? Anything bad in the stuff that Martha is worried about in and of themselves? I don't know. I don't see anything bad there. She's worried about the preparations that need to be made. That's what she's distracted by. All the preparations. Those are things that typically we would take care of, aren't they? So it's not like she's being distracted by a lot of sinful things, is it? You see? She's being distracted by, Jesus says, many things, right? See? They're good things, but they're distractions nonetheless. Only one thing, Jesus says, is needed. Only one thing. And that's to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's the spiritual thing. You see, versus the physical things. What was it that Martha was distracted with? All the physical preparations that needed to be made. And Mary is there at the feet of Jesus, feasting on His words. You see, really, this is a classic struggle that we see throughout the Scriptures. It's a focus versus the physical things versus a focus on the spiritual things. And Martha needed to learn the importance, even though the things that she was doing, the things that were distracting her, were good things, nevertheless, they were distracting her from a spiritual opportunity. And Jesus gives her that, in a sense, kind of a gentle rebuke to help her to focus on what's really important here. And so as we begin this particular part of our study, I want to challenge you to think about, okay, how much of your life is focused on and where you're being distracted by a lot of physical things where you're not taking care of the spiritual things in your life. You know, I don't know about you, but, I know my life can get pretty busy at times. I know the rest of you just kind of sit around and eat bonbons and watch TV, right? No, you don't. You're busy too, aren't you? Everybody's busy. And it seems like the train is going faster and faster all the time. You see? And there's not enough time in the day to get done everything that we want to get done, is there? You see? Yeah, you know, because you're all going, uh-huh, yeah, exactly. But Folks, what we need to understand is that there are, even though those things that we are focusing on throughout our day, there's nothing necessarily wrong with any of those things in and of themselves. They're necessary things, right? But if they're distracting us from the spiritual things that need to be going on in our lives, then they're causing problems. You see? We need to take care of the physical stuff, but not at the expense of the spiritual. You see? And it's so easy in our busy lives to be rushing around like Martha and taking care of all of the stuff that needs to be done and miss the opportunities for the spiritual fulfillment that we really need to have. Okay? And so one of the things that we need to be looking at is, in what are we praying for, is we need to be praying about spiritual matters. Praying about spiritual things, you say. I did some looking in our prayer list here just the other day, and one of the things that I noticed is that about 89% of the requests that are on our prayer list are for physical needs. Mostly having to do with people being sick, some kind of physical illness, you see. 89% of our prayer list is focused on physical needs. Okay. And so what does that tell us, you see, about the physical versus the spiritual in our prayer life? Okay. Nothing wrong with praying about the physical needs of people. We need to be doing that, bringing them before God and asking for healing. But I want to cause you to think about and consider the importance that we need also to be praying about the spiritual needs of those people. You see? That how many of those people that we have on our prayer list, you know, that are our family members or our co-workers or our neighbors or whoever who are not Christians, that as we're praying about their physical needs, that we need to be praying also about their spiritual situation. See? We need to be praying more about spiritual needs. We need to be praying about the spiritual, I'd suggest to you first. And then pray about the physical. Because you see, we have to ask ourselves the question, what does that say about us as individual Christians and as a church family when we're more concerned about people's physical condition than we are about their spiritual condition? What does that say about us? See? Are we kind of more like Martha than we are like Mary when we're looking at the physical versus the spiritual in that way? Is it proper? I have this question just in my mind, and I throw it out to you to think about. Is it proper for us, for instance, to pray to God and ask Him to bless someone's life physically? Okay. Who has turned their back on God? Okay. Someone who is living in disobedience to God, and we lift that person up before the Lord and ask Him to bless them physically, to heal this or heal that, or take care of this test for them, or give them this job, or whatever it is that we're praying for them about in those physical things, when that person has turned their back on the Lord. Shouldn't we be, first of all, praying that that person will give their life to the Lord, that God will use their situation or circumstance, for instance, or cause something to happen in their life that will cause them to give their life to the Lord? I think so. You have to be careful, though, when you pray that way, and maybe that's why we don't do it as often as we should, because when you give someone to the Lord and ask Him to do something in their life to get their attention, you just never know what that something might be. See? And yet, at the same time, that's what we need to be doing. See? Is focusing on those spiritual needs and asking God to rescue people from their spiritual situation or condition. And then we turn over to our text that was read for us in 1 Samuel. Because in this whole aspect of praying about spiritual needs, there's another vitally important question that we need to ask ourselves. Okay? And again, it goes to this whole, you know, thing. And again, I kind of look at and I use our prayer list as a, you know, as in a sense, kind of as a jump-off point, you see, in this. The question becomes, and this is point two on your outline in there, are we sometimes guilty of sinning because we're not praying for people's spiritual needs? The story in 1 Samuel that was read for us has to do with the Israelites coming to the point where they go to Samuel and they demand to have a king appointed over them, an earthly king. And of course, Samuel is upset by this, and God is not pleased with it either, by the way, you see. And so, you know, there's a rebuke on the people for them. God is their king. But they insist on having a king so that they can do what? Be like all the other nations around them, you see. Well, you know, in the rebuke and all, they realize their sinfulness. And we pick up around verse 19 there. The people said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die, for we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king." And Samuel replies to them, not to be afraid. He says, "You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you because they are useless. For the sake of His great name, the Lord will not reject His people because the Lord was pleased to make you His own." Look at verse 23. Underline it. Put a little star next to it, something to highlight it so that you don't miss this part. Samuel says, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." You get that? You know, as I was reading that text and that passage, that line came across and I went, whoa! Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. That's significant, folks. That says that God will hold us accountable if we're not praying for the spiritual condition of people in our lives. Samuel identifies that as sin. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. I think that we have to honestly and seriously consider, are we sinning when we fail to pray for someone that we know is lost? And I think perhaps the sin, at least in my mind, the sin is, it's kind of like we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, that, you know, we have the wrong vision and we're looking at people in the wrong way, and we don't have the compassion of Jesus to be concerned about people's spiritual welfare and their eternal destiny. And that's what God has called upon us to do. See, when He told us to go out into all the world and make disciples. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But when we're not even praying for someone that we know is lost, we need to consider the possibility that God may look upon that as being sin on our part, especially when we're praying for their physical needs and we're not even concerned about their spiritual situation. Okay? It's something that we really need to be thinking about seriously. When we don't ask God even to use us in ways that He sees fit to reach that particular person. That, to me, that's just it's a powerful statement as a wake-up call, so to speak. You see? I know for me personally it is. You see? To listen to those words of Samuel and to say, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. It's caused me to really take a good hard look at my prayers in terms of for people's spiritual condition. And I'm mentioning it to you because I want to challenge you to do the same thing. Say, to look at it that way. There's another thing here that we need to understand that's equally important here. That Samuel tells the people, it's the very next statement. This is part B of verse 23. Not only is he concerned about him praying for the people, and he's you know, I'm going to make sure that I do that kind of thing, but look at what he says also. He says, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. And so the question or the issue here is, if we are concerned about people's spiritual condition, then not only should we be praying for them in their spiritual condition, but we should also be trying to teach them the things that are good and right. And that's a challenge for us, isn't it? You see? But it's what we need to be doing. You say, I will teach you the way that is good and right. Is it just enough for us to pray for someone and say, God, you know, open a door or do something to get their attention or what have you? We need to be doing that, but we also need to be willing to teach them. And if we can't teach them personally, then we need to find somebody that can. You say, do whatever we can, because perhaps that's how God is going to answer our prayer for that person's spiritual condition, you see, is by allowing us or someone else to teach them what is good and right. And so, two questions I want to ask you this morning to be thinking about. Number one, are you willing to pray for people's spiritual condition, people in your life, you see? Number two, are you willing to teach them what is good and right? You need to answer those two questions about yourself and your relationship with God. Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. I told you we would come back to this. Jesus tells us, and it's the Great Commission. It's the command for all of His people, not just for preachers or elders, but for all Christians, to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. See? That's what He has told all of us to do. See? So we need to be praying for people's spiritual condition, and we need to be willing to teach them what is good and right. But as long as we're only focused on the physical things and not the spiritual condition of people, we're not going to obey that commission and we're not going to be praying that way. So the challenge for all of us is to change our focus. Okay? Change our focus. Pray about the physical things, but pray also about the spiritual needs of people. Okay? Bring them before the throne of God, their spiritual condition, and then be willing to do whatever it takes to help them to learn what is good and right. Okay? That's a challenge for us, but that's what God calls upon us to do. So, this final question has to do with our lesson in total. What are you praying for? Okay? What are you praying for? I challenge you to look at it. Examine your prayer life, not in terms of how you're going about praying, as we've been talking about all of those things, but in terms of what are you praying for? Okay? The specifics. And first and foremost, we need to be praying about spiritual needs. Okay? Sometimes we don't know what spiritual needs people have. And sometimes don't know what their physical needs are. The only way that we can find out is to ask people, to give people opportunity to share with us and let us know what's going on in their lives. We have an opportunity to do that and just kind of providing what we refer to as an invitation time. And it's an opportunity for anyone to be able to say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with spiritually. I need some prayers or some guidance or encouragement or whatever it is. Or this is what's going on with me physically. And so I want to ask for prayers about that. And that's what we want to do. We can't really help in praying about those things if we don't know what the needs are. And so we provide this opportunity. It's also an opportunity for us not just to come in and say, hey, I got this going on or that going on, you know, and I need prayers about these things that are bad in my life, but it's also a time to acknowledge praise to God for the prayers that He already has answered. And so there may be somebody here that has something great that you want to share with the rest of us that, you know, in a way that God has blessed your life. We have that opportunity to do that also. Wes, where are you? You ready to come on up and let's sing this invitation song? And if we can serve you in any way, if you're ready to give your life to Christ and become a Christian, it's an opportunity for you to do that. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then you can do that right now by calling upon the name of Jesus, confessing Him as Lord, repenting of the sins in your life, and having those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. If you're ready to do that or you have any other need, just come up and let me know while we're singing this song. Let's stand together.